Text 46. Putendriyam no lingam.
Putendriyam no lingam.
Dehan uccha vachan vibhu.
Dehan uccha vachan vibhu.
Vajat yut sritati yenas.
Vajat yut sritati yenas.
Tatschapi svena tejasa. Bhuta. By the five material elements. Indriya. The ten senses. Manaha. And the mind. Lingan. Characterized. Dehan. Gross material bodies. Uccha avachan. High class and low class. Vibhu, the individual soul. Which is the Lord of the body and senses? Bhajati achieves. Utsrijati gives up. He, indeed. Anya, being different. Tat, that. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Svena, by his own. Tejasa, power of advanced knowledge. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The five material elements, the ten senses, and the mind, all combine to form the various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. This strength can be perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. Purport, the conditioned soul has knowledge, and he wants to fully utilize the gross and subtle bodies for his real advancement in life, he can do so. It is therefore said here that by his high intelligence, svena tejasa, by the superior power of superior knowledge, chi from the right source, the spiritual master, or acharya, he can give up his conditional life in a material body and return home back to Godhead. However, if he wants to keep himself in the darkness of this material world, he can do so. The law confirms this as follows in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:25. Yanti deva rata devan pitri yanti pitri rataha putani yanti puteja yanti mad yajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits take birth among such beings, and those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The form of body is valuable. One can use this body to go to a higher planetary system, to Pitri Loka, or he can remain in this lower planetary system. But if one tries, he can also return home back to Godhead. This prowess is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supersoul. Therefore, the Lord says, Matak smritira gyanam aponam cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. If one wants to receive real knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become free from bondage to repeated acceptance of material bodies. One takes to the devotional service of the Lord and surrenders unto him. The Lord is prepared to give one direction by which one can return home back to Godhead. But if one foolishly wants to keep himself in darkness, he continue in a life of material existence. Putendriyamano lingan deha uchchavachan vibhu bhajat bhajat yutsrijati yanyas touch chapi swena tejasa. The five material elements, the 10 senses, and the mind all combine to form the various parts of gross and subtle bodies. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low. The latter gives them up by his prowess, personal prowess, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. This strength can be perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. Brahmande, Brahmate, Kon, Bhagavan, Jeev, Guru, Krishna, Prasade, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Bish. That Brahmande, Brahmate, that after wandering around the universes, Brahmande, Brahmate, Kon, Bhagavan, Jeev, Guru, if one is Bhagavan, if one is fortunate, then Guru, Krishna, then one comes in contact with Krishna, and Guru, and he gets the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. Then he can make progress in spiritual consciousness. Now, generally, everyone is wandering around looking for something to enjoy, namely eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and the 8,400,000 species of life, of which 400,000 are human beings. And although some of them are demigods, and some of them are ordinary human beings, such as on this planet. In any case, the same thing is going on, punak punas charavita charavananam, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, trying to enjoy varieties of it, sometimes grossly and sometimes more subtly. But this bhakti-lata bij, if one is fortunate enough to get it, then it can change one from a material destination, because after all, any destination in this material world is a material destination. And Krishna has told us that abrahma bhuvana loka puna avartano jana mamupetya tu konteya punar janma navidyate. From the highest planet down to the lowest, there are all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. That even if we go up to Brahmaloka, which is not the highest in the material existence, but it's quite high, where the happiness there is thousands of times greater than us, than ours, in proportion to his lifespan, we live for 100 years, and he lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. Now, of course, this is inconceivable to us, how we could live for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. But for Brahma, it's just an ordinary life. It's just 100 years for him. Because he's enjoying so much, he doesn't even notice time is going by. He does notice, because right now Brahma is 50 years old. He's middle age. He only has around 150 trillion years left to live. So he's quite nervous that he might die very soon. And therefore, according to Kamsa and his followers, according to Brahma, is always in meditation, trying to transcend birth and death. He's out in the forest somewhere meditating. So, we ourselves, we have this relatively insignificant life, 100 years, our time. And at the same time, we're beset with all kinds of problems. There's never any relief from the problem. After this coronavirus, if it does disappear for some time, then there's always the threat of nuclear war. There's always some disease that's popping up that they're telling us is going to kill us. There's always air pollution. There's always radiation. 5G or whatever it is, it's going to zap us. Then there is fear of Alzheimer's and all kinds of other problems that are going on. So there's no relief. And if we expect that science is going to help us find the solution to our problems, that now they're on iPhone 12, when they get up to iPhone 20, then everything should be solved. You just have an app to relieve you of all disease, another app to relieve you of old age, another app to relieve you of death, and, of course, another app so that you don't have to take birth again if you want to go back to the spiritual world. That will all be provided by the miracle of science. But so far, the miracle of science has given us simply problems. Radiation, anxiety, air pollution, destruction of the environment. But somehow or another, it's going to be different. So that's called madness. To think that by doing the same thing more and more, you're going to get a different result than you got when you did at the beginning. If you keep on doing the same thing, you get the same result. If you think, I'll keep on doing the same thing, and this time I'm going to get a different result, that's called madness. Now, one can try a different result. So here it mentions that we can also worship Krishna. That we can recognize Krishna as our friend within our heart and try to follow his direction to make spiritual progress, to get out of material conceptions and make spiritual progress. So Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita because we don't hear him very well within the heart. And we can read Bhagavad Gita and try and hear Bhagavad Gita. Now we read Bhagavad Gita and we don't hear it, that's also another problem. We can read it and not hear it. Or we can hear it a little bit, just like we hear Krishna a little bit within our heart, and therefore we're somewhat civilized. But if we want to hear Krishna better, we can study Bhagavad Gita, and we can find out what he has to say. And what he has to say is that there's a process of deepening our spiritual advancement, deepening our consciousness, purifying our consciousness, first of all, by the process of bhakti yoga, and then eventually deepening that consciousness so that we become Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious. Just like if you put an iron in the fire, then the iron gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it becomes like fire. So we can't understand Krishna until we become like Krishna. But we're not about today, at the end of the day, Krishna will not pop it up out of nowhere and say, you're qualified. We have to qualify ourselves, and that takes some time. There's a process of doing it. Now, the process is worship begins with worship. As Krishna says in the end of the sixth chapter, that yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana vajante mam, worshipping me. Yoginam api sarvesham, of all the different types of yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratma, one who's always within himself thinking about me. Bhajate, what is it? Shravan bhajate mam, worshipping me with great and transcendental faith. Ye me matatma mataha, always abides in me and thinks of me with great transcendental faith. And as we know, the process of devotional service is the process of developing faith. So faith in what? Sarvabhutastam atmanam sarvabhutanichatmani ikshite yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshana. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and sees every being in me. Indeed, the same Supreme Lord sees me, the same Supreme Lord everywhere. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashami sachamena pranashati. And for one who can see me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So the process begins with hearing. Hearing this philosophy, so we know how to worship Krishna. So we get up in the morning and we come to Mangal Arati to sing about Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna to ask Krishna for service. We worship Tulsi. And We hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and then we're supposed to go out and serve people by, or each other, by helping each other become conscious of Krishna. So there's a process, but we have to deepen the process. In other words, becoming expert at one of the processes will help us become expert in the other processes too. So we begin with worship, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and all the nine different processes of devotional service all give us a chance to worship Krishna. But there are different ways, there are different levels of worship Krishna. Archam eva hariye, pujam yakshadaye hate, ita daneshu chanesu, savakta prakritam smritaha. We can worship Krishna in material consciousness. That's called kanista adhikari. I need this and I need that. And Krishna, you give it to me, please. I worship you and you give me what I need. I need freedom from distress. I need material comfort. I have to know, I have to get some knowledge at how to live happily in the material world. And I have to get free from all my problems and miseries of life and realize I'm eternal. So you give that to me and I'll worship you. So that's, Krishna will do that, he'll reciprocate, he'll tell us, give us the intelligence if we'll accept it, if we really want it, how to get free from distress. Of course, we can chant Hare Krishna, please get me free from distress, but if we're like the elephant bathing, the elephant goes into the lake and he bathes, and then he comes onto the shore and he throws all kinds of dust all over his body. Hati snan. So we can plead to Krishna, please give me free from distress, and Krishna will help tell us that, my dear soul, you're doing this. This is causing your distress. Stop doing it. You'll get free from distress. And we say, Krishna, thanks a lot. Do you have another way of getting free from distress? Because I like what I'm doing. Well, I'm sorry, that's the only way you're going to get free from... No, Krishna, you don't understand. You're God. You can do anything. Please, help me. If not, then I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm sorry, that's all I can tell you. You know, if you want to engage in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, and it, then you know, if you want lust, anger and greed, and at the same time you want to get free from distress, I can't help you. Go somewhere else. Even God can't, you know, even God is incomplete. Maybe the devil will help me. Or as I said before, one Christian priest was saying that your philosophy is so perfect that only the devil could have made it. This is called viparya. We want something, but we don't want to do what's necessary to achieve it. Therefore, we get stuck at that level. And those who go beyond it, they're able to accept, all right, what to do, you know. I don't want to give it up, but I guess I got to. Then I want material comfort. I want something positive, some material happiness, some nice place to live, some nice relationships with people, nice food, nice air, nice everything. I want to live here happily. So that's certainly a step up, and by Krishna consciousness, Krishna can help us. But if we want to, if we're still attracted to the same low class food, if we're still attracted, if we still want to keep the same low class relationships with others, if we don't really care much about how we sleep, how we eat, or anything else, then we won't get material comfort, no matter how much we pray to Krishna for it. So Krishna can give us the intelligence, but we have to accept it. And if we want, if we become inquisitive by good fortune, we actually become jignasu, and actually want the path of spiritual awakening or elevation of consciousness. Many people are jignasu, how I can elevate myself materially beyond just eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Maybe there's something beyond that, or at least a higher stage of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, they become inquisitive to become expert. So usually in the mode of passion, let's improve my knowledge. In the mode of passion, we want to improve our material existence, and also in the mode of passion, we want to improve my awareness, my consciousness, so I can do things better and more expertly. And when one becomes aware that there is something called Brahman, I can exist as a soul free from material conceptions that I'm going to die, that I'm going, one realizes I can live forever, one may want that also. And Krishna, if we really want Jignasu, real knowledge, he'll give it to us. But if we keep on trying to find out from mental speculators what the truth is, then we'll never find out. Yatanto yoginas chanyam pashantyan yaman yavastita yatanto ya kritatmano naivam pashantya chetasaha. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, that is, that we're eternal and how we're taking bodies and quitting them and what kind of body we enjoy under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are not trained with knowledge cannot see how this is taking place. So we go outside the Vedic, even in the Vedic culture, we find out what the three doshas are, and I think now I'm a pitta rather than Krishna's servant. Or even this idea, now I'm a kshatriya, I have a right to fight with people because I'm a kshatriya. Or I'm a Brahmin, I only speak and I eat and I don't know anything else. So we think we're a Brahmin or a kshatriya, we think we're a pitta or a kafra, a vata, then we're in the material concept of life. Better than the gross material consciousness, I'm an American, I'm a Slovene, I'm a Russian, I'm from the Luna node, I'm from the moon. Better than some material designation like that, but still it's a material designation. So one has to accept real knowledge coming into civil succession, who we actually are, how we're taking these bodies, how we're quitting them, what kind of body we enjoy under the spell, who we actually are. What is our level of spiritual consciousness? This is what Rupa Goswami said is really jignasu. Krishneti yasigiritam manasadriyeta. How to execute devotional service properly, how to reciprocate with all different levels of devotees and with Krishna. That Krishna says, Rupa Goswami says, is a real jignasu that we're really supposed to find out. Will actually be helpful. So, if one can go beyond just ordinary worship of Krishna for some material desires, then he wants to join Krishna's family. He wants to feel like he's a member. Not just attending worship, but actually belonging. Feeling like one belongs to Krishna, one belongs to Krishna's devotees. Unless one can come to that platform, then one remains in the material existence. Therefore, Prabhupada said, that devotional service begins at the point of initiation. Not initiation doesn't mean you sit down in front of a fire and you throw some grains into the fire and then you're initiated. You get another name and now I'm no longer cleaning the bathroom. Now I'm telling everyone else to do. Because you know who I am? I'm Das. Really, you're Das. Yes, I'm Das. And you're Das, I'm Das. You're the servant of Das. But actually, initiation means to give up the false ego. It's a ceremony to confirm our giving up the false ego. The ceremony in itself has no meaning whatsoever. You can sit in front of a fire and throw grains from now until time immemorial, you'll still be in the material concept of life. You can chant every name to the demigods under the creation, you'll still be in the material concept of life. You may even chant the Vandana prayers, the Mangala Chandra. Well, we do that every day to a certain extent, and we're still in the material concept of life. So initiate the fire sacrifice It's supposed to be the symbol of I'm accepting myself as Krishna's servant, as the servant of the servant of Krishna. And I'm going to learn from the devotees who are more elevated than me how to become an expert servant of Krishna with proper discrimination. Otherwise, then the initiation, we stay there. And where is that? We're still a material concept of light. We're still praying to Krishna for freedom from distress, praying to Krishna for, please, my dear Lord, I'm here so you can make me comfortable. My dear Lord, please give me some knowledge so that I can improve my material existence. My Lord, give me realization I'm eternal so I don't fear anymore my temporary existence. So we're still in that concept. Maybe we're more elevated than others. Maybe we're one of the Kumaras. We're become like the Kumaras. We're Brahman realized. But that's not Krishna consciousness. So we have to learn how to associate with the devotees, how to become a servant of the devotees. If we, in the servant of devotees, they'll check and see if we have a false ego or not. And if they're not checking if we have a false ego, it means we don't have any friends. We have no one really, we're not prepared to be corrected. And any time we're not being prepared to be corrected by others, then the result is that our false ego is just growing. Anyone who thinks they're doing everything perfectly, and the only imperfection in the temple is that others don't realize my perfection, then we're not going to have any friendship. People aren't there. We come to the temple to find Krishna as God, not to find one of the devotees in the temple as God. Krishna is supposed to be God, not the temple commander, nor my ashram leader, or my friends. Generally, my friends are those who can help me, tell me what I'm doing, encourage me for what I'm doing right, and prevent me from doing things that are harmful. So in the association of devotees, we can make advancement. And then by that, what is that advancement? The advancement is we learn how to expertly associate with the devotees, and then we can associate, then we become an actual disciple. In other words, discipline. Rupa Goswami says, Ado Guru Shraya. In the beginning of this, Guru Shraya. But that's not the end of the process. I got the first process of the 64. The other 63 are pretty boring. I don't really need them. No, it's an introduction, Guru Ashraya. And then after Guru Ashraya, then we have to learn how to take instructions, how to serve the superior devotees, the acharyas, and the superior devotees, take help from them, and then engage in the process of devotional service, of which one of them, well, that's called discipleship. We hear about Krishna, then we come to association with the devotees, fellowship, and then we become a disciple. We take instructions. And what is that for? So we can engage in the ministry work. We can actually do some service to others. Help the innocent. Well, help everyone do some service. And then we have to have some mission, some purpose of life, why we're here, what we're trying to accomplish. We can serve all day long, but what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to actually achieve? What does Krishna want us to achieve? What does Prabhupada want us to achieve? What are we supposed to achieve here? What will make our life valuable? How are we going to give Krishna consciousness to others? So then we may help assist the preaching, which is ministry work, or we may become engaged in our life mission to bring Krishna consciousness to others in some way. Then every stage is deepening our relation with Krishna. That's what he says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. That if we think, well, I'm a devotee, I'm here in the temple, I come to the program, everything's all right. I even do my services, whatever they say, I even go on book distribution, I go on Harinam. But if we don't know what we're doing and why we're doing it, what we're trying to deepen and how we're trying to deepen our consciousness in Krishna consciousness, it all becomes very superficial. If our goal in life is to get free from distress, we can be going out and distributing books, and my distress is that if I don't distribute enough books and they read my score, then I'll feel my false ego will be hurt. So please take the book so you'll free me from my distress of their hurting my false ego by not sufficiently praising me when they read out the scores. Prabhu so-and-so did 300 books, jai. And Prabhu so-and-so, our great Maharati, did 5. My God, what happened to him? He's become fallen. He lost his potency. He laid down his bow and arrow on the battlefield and his mind became full of grief. I thought he was a Maharati, but that, now he's not even a Rati. Take his chariot away. Oh no, don't do it. I'm really a Maharati, it's just a bad day. Give me another chance. So our distress may be my prestige is being harmed. Or I'm not going to get the maha this time. I remember when I was in Dallas, Texas, I was a temple president. Well, I was in Texas. I was a temple president of a temple in Austin, Texas, a couple of hours away. But we used to go up, our temple used to go up and visit the Dallas Gurukul regularly. And the Dallas Gurukul was having a contest. They were memorizing chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. And if you could memorize the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita the first week, then you got the maha plate. So people were memorizing the Bhagavad Gita, not to become Krishna conscious, but to get the maha plate. I was always one chapter behind because I memorized the first chapter, but then I found out the next week you had to memorize the second chapter also to get the maha plate. So I never got the maha plate because I was always one chapter behind everyone else. And then Prabhupada came to Dallas, and the temple leaders were very proud that these Gurukul students, they know the Bhagavad Gita by heart, and so they put one devotee, one Gurukul student, in front of Prabhupada, two of them actually, one of them was, actually his name was Krishna Smaranam, and he began to recite Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveda Yutsavaha, Mame Kam Pandavais Chaiva, Kema Kurvata Sanjaya, Sanjaya Vache, etc. Dristatu Pandivani Kam Vyudam Duryodhanastata, Acharyam Upasangam Yam Rajavachanam Abravit. So they went through some verses in Bhagavad Gita. And then Prabhupada said, well, what does it mean? He asked Krishna Smaranam. He said, I don't know. So Prabhupada said, parrot? We're not interested in creating parrots. we want devotees to understand what we're doing. Then they stopped this memorization of the Bhagavad Gita, the slokas, because for some reason or another, no more maha plates. And at that time, it was good to get a maha plate. The prasadam wasn't exactly elegant. We're eating off of wax paper. The Dallas temple couldn't afford prasadam, so they put out wax paper on the floor, on the wooden floor. And that means you put the rice on the wax paper, which is all right, rice and the subject. Of course, if the subject was wet, so you know the liquid fell onto the floor. If you go to the Dallas temple now, you can smell the prasadam. The worst thing was the dal when they put it on top of the rice. That was the most liquid. So it all kind of merged into the floor. The maha plate was more elegant, though. He got a plate. In any case, Prabhupada did not appreciate ours being parrots. We should understand what we're doing. Otherwise, you can memorize all the verses and be on the same platform you were before you started. We can do anything unless we do it with proper didami buddhi yogam tam. Unless we give Krishna's intelligence what we're doing. And that only comes through bhakti. Tesham sadatam yuktanam. And that's what our lectures are supposed to do. to teach us how to, whatever level we're on, how to do it with more steadily and more enthusiastically for Krishna, so that we can actually get more and more intelligence coming from Krishna, how to advance to the next level. But if we don't know what the next level is, and we think we're doing everything perfectly, we're doing everything, but we're not becoming Krishna conscious, and then we need something else other than just doing everything. We have to do everything in the proper consciousness. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your lecture. I want to ask you how Krishna helps a person who cannot change anything for better and cannot follow the higher principles, but he has strong faith in God.
Well, when Krishna sends the lightning bolt to wake you up, then you think, well, that came from God. Thanks a lot. So we're asleep, we don't want to wake up so easily, but we believe in God, so God will help us. He'll slap us a few times by his material energy. Thank you very much. Thank you for helping me wake up. Is that all right? Anything else?
So Maharaj, I sometimes hear devotees say we should just add Krishna to some, let's say we have attachments, and they say just add Krishna to this. But it looks like we can put Krishna, if we are not somehow some kind of able to stop doing this, some things, Krishna will probably not help us.
At the beginning, they can say, just like in the beginning, Prabhupada said, we should feed the new devotees so much prasadam that they waddle like a duck. You know, waddle it. But when you're in the movement for, 30, 40, 50 years, you don't sit down by at prasadam thing. At the end, you waddle like a duck. There's appropriate things, instructions for devotees at different levels. So at the beginning, yes, just add Krishna to the zeros that you have, because that's all you have is zeros. So it's good to add Krishna, the one. But then after a while, you have to do a little bit more than that. You have to find out what Krishna wants also, not just add him onto whatever you want. Find out what Krishna wants. So that takes more refinement. So we should not, what the instructions for devotees at the beginning are not wrong, but they may not be appropriate for devotees who are trying to advance to a higher level than that. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you mentioned initiation and taking instructions. I've been frequently asked a question about a disciple's association with his guru. They say that sometimes devotees get initiation, but they never get any association with their guru. Or they get very little association, a few days in a few years. So they say they question what is the meaning of this initiation if you are not instructed by your guru. Personally,
well, I think every devotee who's giving initiation is speaking Krishna consciousness. So there's so much instruction. First of all, we've been given so much instruction. Generally speaking, if one takes initiation, he's supposed to have heard from his guru over the person who's going to take initiation and become convinced that this person is a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And he can teach me how to become an expert servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Now, in order to do that, there's so many instructions being given. Like, for instance, he may tell us, in a class, we should read Prabhupada's books. Now, if we're reading Prabhupada's books, then we're associating with our guru. We're serving his instruction. How many instructions do you need? He's given 10,000 instructions, and I don't like any of them. I'm waiting for the instruction he's going to give me that I like. That's, you know, maybe he'll come this time and give me something I like. So we have so many instructions. The thing is, we don't follow them. That's the problem. And when we follow them, we don't recognize that, you know, I'm following them as a servant of my, of the servants of Krishna. We're just following them because, you know, I'm a good person. Or maybe he'll give me some benefit that I'm looking for. But not as with the mood of just being a servant of Krishna's servants. Never, I don't get any benefit. And then I blame my guru. You know, he's not giving me enough instructions. Or he gave me instructions, I'm doing them and I get any benefit. Because I refuse to give up my false ego. I refuse to give up my material motivations. It's all his fault. He was supposed to benedict me, causelessly. He was supposed to take away all my sins. I'm still getting reactions. What's going on? He promised at the point of initiation, all my sins would go away. But I'm still suffering. Something wrong. He lied to me. He didn't do it. It's all a phony. It's a fake. Because we take initiation with the wrong understanding, and we never develop the right understanding. We don't know what initiation is. We don't know what it's meant for. And how to get free, how to actually advance out of the material existence and advance in the spiritual existence. But that comes from the instructions. But if we don't try to understand the instructions, we want to understand what the value of initiation is and how to properly utilize it for spiritual advancement. And then we'll blame everyone else except for ourselves. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.